Good morning. This is 5 at 8. Today's Friday, April 5th, 2024. And here's Linda Carlisle and Mark Overman with today's top news. In this episode, we'll talk about JetZero's revolutionary aircraft design, promising a 50% reduction in fuel burn, Denmark closing a shipping lane due to a malfunctioning missile launcher, astronomers discovering a major flaw in their understanding of dark energy, researchers developing fiber-based electronics powered by the human body, and Israel's security cabinet approving steps to increase humanitarian aid into Gaza. Story number one. In a report from CNN, JetZero has developed a new blended wing-body aircraft design that promises a 50% reduction in fuel burn and emissions compared to traditional planes. The design, which combines elements of a flying wing and a tube-shaped fuselage, allows for increased fuel economy and larger payload areas. While challenges remain, including regulatory hurdles and airport infrastructure compatibility, JetZero aims to have its revolutionary aircraft in service by 2030. Could you imagine the thrill of flying in a completely redesigned plane? I mean, this news about JetZero's blended wing-body aircraft is a game-changer. It's about time the aviation industry got a shake-up. And as someone who's all for innovation, I'm stoked about this.
Well, Mark, while it's true that the blended wing-body design could potentially bring about a seismic shift in aviation, we mustn't ignore the challenges. For instance, the pressurization of a non-cylindrical fuselage, an integral part of this design, is a major technical obstacle. And let's not forget the potential infrastructural changes airports might need to accommodate these aircraft.
I hear you, Linda, but isn't progress always met with hurdles? I mean, think about the shift from propeller planes to jets. That was a massive leap, but look at where we are today. Plus, JetZero's not going at it alone. They've got the support of NASA and the FAA, which is huge.
That's a fair point, Mark. But I think it's crucial to remember that we're not just talking about a shift in technology. The interior layout of these planes will be drastically different, which will impact passenger comfort. It's not just about making the planes more efficient, but also ensuring that passengers would be willing to fly in them.
Absolutely. Passenger comfort is paramount. But I think we're underestimating the adaptability of people here. Remember when in-flight entertainment was introduced? There were skeptics then too, but look at how it's become a staple now. Plus, airlines will have a new palette to work with, and I'm excited to see how they interpret this much broader space.
I see your point, Mark. But I believe it's essential to balance optimism with a healthy dose of pragmatism. The aviation industry is complex, and changes don't occur overnight. JetZero's 2030 target seems ambitious considering the magnitude of the task at hand. I guess only time will tell if this revolutionary design will truly take flight.
Story number two. In a report from CNN, Denmark closed a busy shipping lane due to a malfunctioning missile launcher on a Navy ship in the Great Belt Strait. The launcher cannot be deactivated, and specialists are working to solve the problem. The missile could potentially launch several kilometers away. The airspace in the area is closed, and ships have been notified to wait until the issue is resolved. Who'd have thought, Linda, that a routine missile test could bring one of the world's busiest shipping lanes to a standstill, huh? I mean, it's quite alarming to think of the potential safety risks posed to civilians and civil infrastructures.
Yes, Mark. Events like this incident involving the Danish Navy ship highlight the delicate balance between military operations and civilian safety. In an increasingly interconnected world, disruptions can have far-reaching implications, not just for local communities, but also for global trade and transportation.
Yeah, and it's not just about the immediate danger, is it? There's also the potential for long-term consequences, like the impact on the local economy and the country's reputation. What kind of safeguards and protocols are typically in place for such emergencies?
Well, Mark, it varies depending on the country and the specific military technology involved. Generally, there are multiple layers of safety measures and protocols designed to prevent malfunctions and to respond quickly when they do occur. In this case, it appears that the Danish military was quick to alert the authorities and take steps to mitigate the risk.
That's reassuring, but it still raises questions about the responsibilities of military forces operating near civilian zones, doesn't it? I mean, how do we draw the line here?
It's a complex issue, Mark. On one hand, the military has a duty to ensure the security of their weapons systems and to protect public spaces. On the other hand, they also need to be able to conduct necessary operations and tests. It's a delicate balance, and one that requires continuous evaluation and adaptation.
No doubt about that, Linda. It's a reminder, isn't it, of similar incidents in other parts of the world. I'm thinking of nuclear submarines in civilian harbors and the like.
Military-civilian proximity concerns have evolved over time, and incidents like these serve as reminders of the need for vigilance, transparency, and continuous improvement in our safety protocols. We need to learn from these situations to prevent future risks.
Story number three. In a report from the New York Times, astronomers conducting a large survey of the universe may have discovered a major flaw in their understanding of dark energy. Instead of being constant, dark energy might be changeable over time. This finding, if confirmed, could change our predictions about the fate of the universe. The new data comes from the Dark Energy Spectroscopic Instrument, DESI, which is creating a detailed map of millions of galaxies over billions of years. Is it just me, Linda? Or does it feel like we're living in a science fiction novel? I mean, think about this. Dark energy, this mysterious force that's been assumed to be a constant, might actually be fluctuating. It's mind-blowing stuff.
I completely agree, Mark. It's almost as if we're stepping into a new frontier of understanding. This potential revelation about dark energy could change our whole perception of the universe and its ultimate fate. Instead of the big freeze scenario, we could have a more optimistic outlook.
And you know, this kind of reminds me of when Einstein's theory of relativity turned Newtonian physics on its head. It just goes to show that science is never static. We're always learning, always discovering new things, always challenging our preconceived notions. It's like being on a never-ending road trip, you know?
That's an interesting metaphor, Mark. And it's true, the journey of scientific discovery is never-ending. This discovery about dark energy is a prime example. And let's not forget the statistical aspect of it. The chance of this being a fluke is 1 in 400. That's quite significant in the realm of physics.
Oh, absolutely. And hey, even if this turns out to be a statistical hiccup, it's still a fascinating possibility to consider. It's like peering through a window into an alternate reality, one where the rules of the game might be completely different. I gotta say, Linda, this is why I love science.
The beauty of science is in its capacity for constant change and growth. This news about dark energy, if confirmed, will certainly be a paradigm shift. It's a testament to the dynamic nature of our scientific understanding.
Story number four. Researchers have developed fiber-based electronics that use the human body to power t-shirts displaying changing messages. The technology harnesses electromagnetic energy in the atmosphere, eliminating the need for batteries or electronic chips. The fibers emit electric signals when touched by the body, which can be programmed for various applications. The team has created prototypes such as a fabric display and fabric keyboard, as well as a wireless haptic carpet that can transmit signals to control appliances. The fibers are washable, durable, and sweat-resistant, with potential applications in robots, prosthetics, and personal health monitoring, according to The Guardian. Will you look at that, Linda? Recent research in China has developed smart fibers that don't require batteries. They've managed to harness electromagnetic energy using the human body. This is like something out of a sci-fi movie.
This is a significant advancement in fiber-based electronics. The researchers have created a body-coupled fiber electronic technology. What's interesting is that it does not need electronic chips or batteries to work. It's fascinating how they've used the human body as part of the circuit to harness electromagnetic energy.
That's nuts. So what's the deal with this fiber? How does it convert the electromagnetic energy into something useful like visible light or radio waves?
Well, the details are quite technical, but to put it simply, when the electromagnetic energy travels through the fiber itself converts it into other forms of energy. This includes visible light and electric signals when touched by a human body. By controlling various aspects of the system, such as the fiber's area in contact with the body or the diameter of the fibers, these wireless signals can be programmed.
So we're talking wireless signals, and they don't need batteries. That's going to make for some comfy and smart textiles. No more rigid components to deal with. I bet there's a ton of potential applications.
The researchers have already developed some fascinating prototypes. For instance, a wearable fabric display coupled to a fabric keyboard could assist people with hearing impairments to communicate better. This technology could also be integrated into a carpet that can sense where you are standing, provide emergency lighting, or even control switches on home appliances.
Wow, that's remarkable, Linda. But what about the durability of these smart fibers? Can they, you know, withstand typical wear and tear, washing and all that?
Great question, Mark. The researchers have taken that into consideration as well. These fibers are composed of three layers, made from low-cost raw materials. They've been designed to be durable, washable, and sweat-resistant. So, it seems like they've thought of everything.
That's incredible. I can't help but think about the impact on healthcare. Imagine a world where our clothes are continuously monitoring our health. That's a game changer, right?
That's one of the many potential applications. Dr. Luigi Occhipinti from the University of Cambridge mentioned that this technology could lead to a new class of self-powered wearable electronics for continuous monitoring of personal health. This could indeed revolutionize healthcare, among other fields.
Story number 5. Israel's security cabinet has approved steps to increase humanitarian aid into Gaza, including temporarily reopening the Erez crossing in the north. This decision comes after U.S. President Joe Biden warned that future U.S. support for Israel depends on concrete actions to protect civilians and aid workers. The plan includes using the Ashdod port to process aid shipments and allowing increased Jordanian aid through another land crossing. Biden called for an immediate ceasefire and urged Israel to reach a deal with Hamas promptly. The U.S. has indicated that continued support for Israel will be contingent on changes in conduct to protect civilians and aid workers, as reported by The Guardian. Can you believe it, Linda? It seems like the U.S. is using humanitarian aid as a diplomatic tool to influence Israel's actions in Gaza. It's like a power play on the global stage.
Yes, Mark. It is indeed a complex situation. When we talk about humanitarian aid in conflict zones, it's important to remember that it's not just about delivering supplies. It's also about how those actions are perceived and the political implications they carry.
Right, it's like a chess game where aid becomes a pawn. But I mean, is this the right approach? How effective is this strategy, actually?
Well, Mark, it's a double-edged sword. On one hand, leveraging aid can push parties toward negotiations, as we're seeing with Israel now. On the other hand, it can also complicate the situation, especially if the aid doesn't reach those who need it most due to political maneuvering.
Yeah, I see your point, Linda. It's a tough call. And then there's the ethical side of it too, right? I mean, should humanitarian aid, which is meant to help people in need, be used as a bargaining chip?
That's a significant ethical question. Humanitarian aid should be unconditional and not used as leverage. However, in complex geopolitical situations, things are not always so black and white. It's a delicate balance that needs careful handling.
This really opens up a can of worms, doesn't it? I'm curious, Linda, how does this compare to other instances where aid has been used in this way?
Certainly, Mark. Instances abound where aid has been intertwined with political strategy, the U.S. aid during the Cold War, for instance. But each situation is unique with its own set of challenges. What's important is to maintain the focus on the humanitarian aspect and the people who are in desperate need of help.
Couldn't agree more. The human aspect should always be at the forefront. It's a tough situation indeed. That's it for this morning. Have a great day and see you all tomorrow.
5 at 8 is researched, written, and performed by artificial intelligence. For more information, visit botcaster.ai.